Now, the slow growth in veganism, but the steady growth all the same, and the debate about the ethics of farming animals is nothing if not divisive, particularly in this country. Despite the fact that a small minority of people can be described as totally vegan, the Go Vegan World campaign, which includes extensive advertising posters on billboards and in newspapers, not only here but in the UK and further afield, has grabbed a lot of attention in recent times. Go Vegan World began 3 years ago on World Vegan Day here in Ireland, and it's run by Sandra Higgins, who owns the Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary in County Meath, and she's with me in studio. Sandra, good morning to you. Thanks for coming in. How do you define veganism?
Veganism is the belief that it's wrong to inflict unnecessary harm on other animals. All our use of other animals is unnecessary, and all our use of them harms them. So it's just a belief system based on the rational facts. And it translates into vegans not using other animals for any reason. We use plant alternatives.
So it includes obviously not eating meat or dairy. What about honey? Consumption of honey?
No, it's not about so much about the individual ways that we use them. We see other animals as equally sentient beings who have feelings and who value their own lives. So we don't use them for anything. So we don't use them for entertainment like horse racing. We don't use them for clothing in wool or leather
or silk. But even if it comes naturally to bees, obviously, to produce honey, it comes naturally to horses to run, for example. But and I take your point in relation to horse racing, that is a divisive issue, and there are people for and against it. But just going back to the issue, is there a line at any stage? And the reason I ask about honey is, do you equate bees, you know, to sheep, cattle, and so on?
It's not so much about equating one species with another, so much as examining how that species live and the value that they have on their lives and their work. So if you take the example of bees, they don't gather honey for humans. They gather honey to feed themselves. We feed them, we take their honey from them and we harm them in the process, and we feed them a poor sugar substitute. So we have no need to eat honey.
Well, actually, beekeeping, they say, actually helps maintain the bee population, you know, which you know, is under pressure, as we know, internationally from extinction. So it works the other way in that regard.
You see, other animals live for their own reasons. They don't live to serve humans. So bees certainly pollinate, but we don't have to keep them or control them in order for them to survive. We have this, we believe in this myth that humans are superior to other animals and that we have a right to control the natural world. We don't have that right, and the natural world is beginning to fight back and show us very clearly that we don't have that right.
So in the modern world, avoiding contact with animal-related products, be it food, be it cosmetics, medicine, you know, leather, clothes, it would seem rather impractical. So for those that disagree with livestock farming, of which there are many, is vegetarianism not a more practical way of showing your displeasure to the way animals are treated on farms?
Well,
in your interpretation.
I'll address your first point first. Veganism is entirely practical. Not only is it entirely practical, it's practical. It's the only way forward for the world. So we who are living as vegans don't find it difficult. We find it very easy. It's just a small change in our behaviour. It's just about becoming aware.
But are you offended going into a supermarket to do your shopping and the person in front of you purchasing meat and dairy?
Yes, I'm offended in general by our use of other animals, but I remember that I was one of those people before I became aware of the facts. So to answer your second question about vegetarianism, veganism avoids exploiting other animals based on the scientific fact of that they are sentient. Vegetarianism avoids animal flesh. But vegetarians use other animals, so they wear their clothing, they buy products that were tested on them, and primarily they consume eggs and dairy. And some of the worst forms of exploitation of other animals are in the egg and dairy industries. So vegetarianism is quite illogical, because you'll find vegetarians objecting to, say, something like foie gras. But the geese who are used for foie gras and the ducks are feel the same and have the same interest in their lives and the same physical and emotional feelings as the geese who are used, for instance, to have feathers plucked from them to make duvets and jackets, where when we can just as easily use a plant alternative to those products.
I saw you on Clairborne Live maybe last year, where you were talking about, you know, animals and the animals on your farm as almost in the terms as the way most of us talk about other people. You know, you talk about somebody, someone, when you're talking about an animal in that regard, and that they the rest of us practice speciesism, which is what you don't practice. In other words, that there's no barrier there. Now, I don't want to sound facetious, but I'm just trying to find, is there a line here at all in terms of, you can love animals, can you, you know, as a vegan, is there anything to stop you falling in love with an animal? Now, as I said, I'm not being smart in that regard. I just want to know, where is the line in when you talk about the care and the treatment and the equality of humans and other animals?
As you said, the problem is speciesism. I grew up as a speciesist. I still struggle against my own speciesism. Speciesism is the notion that other animals exist for our benefit, and that we can do what we like to them because they're not one of us, and because they're different to us, we can exploit them. The veganism is about recognising the fact that they are sentient, and because they are sentient, we don't use them. That's the bottom line here.
But do you consider the animals in your sanctuary as part of your family?
It's not about falling in love with them. It's about respecting the fact that they are sentient and not using them. Now, we're all very familiar with falling in love with a cat or dog in our homes, but the animals that we use, the pigs and chickens and fishes and cows that we use, are the very same as those cats and dogs. And if we did to cats and dogs what we do to farmed animals, there would be an outrage. But it's time that we examined beneath the surface and look. You know, I saw on social media yesterday, on your own Facebook page, you had a warning that there were dead animals in one of the scenes. But we're being flogged dead sentient animals every day of the week. I grew up eating them. We all did.
Right, OK. I know you've travelled a lot abroad to promote your campaign. You're just back, I think you were in Canada while the rest of us were suffering here with the snow. I want to play a clip from a presentation that you gave to a small group in Canada in recent times.
Ireland thrives on its image as an island populated by farm families who lovingly tend to the animals in their care. Animal agriculture is regarded as the backbone of a strong economy, the well-being of which is essential, an essential component of Ireland's aim of feeding the world. It's very easy to fool consumers into believing that what they're buying is harmless. In fact, packaging in Ireland only needs to carry an Irish label for consumers to feel confident that not only are they spending their money in an ethical manner, but they're actually doing something good to help other animals. Those who profit from them are portrayed as caring for them as affectionately as they would their own children. But scratch beneath the surface, and the reality is quite, quite different. Despite its portrayal as an idyllic place for farmed animals, and the people who profit from them as caring animal lovers, Ireland is a terrible place to be if you're not human. Ireland is 142 times smaller than Canada. And this tiny island, with a human population of only 5 million, punches way above its weight in terms of animal exploitation. It's the largest exporter of bovine flesh in the Northern Hemisphere, outstripping the US, Canada and Mexico.
Now, that was in Canada. And Sandra, I have to say, you're doing Irish farmers a huge disservice by talking in such broad brush terms there and sending those people away with an image of Ireland that is completely untrue. To sort of equate the compliant, decent, hardworking farmers in Ireland who go about doing their job to the letter of the law, as set down by the EU, to kind of give the impression that they are cruel and barbaric. It's very irresponsible, I would have thought.
I didn't mention the word cruelty or barbaric anywhere.
No, you didn't. But certainly you could derive from what you're saying that it's a terrible place and that the caring image, it's far from the reality. You don't know what sort of an image those people that were there, and there weren't too many of them, I admit, but, they take away this image, which is portrayed on social media by hardcore vegans of barbaric acts that go on in other countries, not in Ireland, but it's equated to farming in Ireland, which is very, very unfair. Would you agree with that?
Go Vegan World never shows barbaric breaches of animal welfare legislation. It shows standard practice that falls well within the bounds of what we call the highest welfare legislation in the world. The point that Go Vegan World made in that lecture, as it has done consistently since its inception, is that we don't have the right to use other animals.
But why use Ireland as an example when, you know, I mean, farming is farming all over the world and there are different standards apply, and a lot, really poor standards apply in a lot of countries outside the EU. It's very unfair your native country to go abroad and paint this image of Irish farming as something that it frankly isn't.
Ireland is a wonderful example because it epitomises the humane myth. There's nothing humane about breeding equally sentient beings into this world to end their lives brutally in a slaughterhouse.
But what it does, it leads to online attacks on farmers, and there have been many examples. We've highlighted it here before. Farmers being called rapists and murderers. Now, do you condone that sort of behaviour online from supporters of your campaign?
Well, Damien, you told me that you watched the lecture in Canada,
yes.
So you would have heard my views on that. No, I do not agree with attacking anybody. Go Vegan World is fully supportive of farmers. Look, it's time that we stopped attacking the messenger here. This is a problem that we have inherited. We're all in this together. The fodder crisis is illustrative of the problem that we're in at the moment. Ireland is one of the highest causes of greenhouse gas emissions from animal agriculture.
Well, the issue of the environment and diet as a result of going vegan, we won't touch on today because that's debatable as well in a lot of cases. Well, in some cases, particularly in relation to diet. But I just want to concentrate back on the practicality. What is the utopian roadmap here? Is there a date by which you believe we should have no farmed animals? Is there a plan here for Go Vegan World to convert us all to be vegan?
Go Vegan World doesn't convert people. It provides scientific information that's evidence-based so that people can make an informed choice. My view is that we shouldn't be farming, we shouldn't be using other animals at all right now. Go Vegan World talks about all animal use, not just animal agriculture. It also takes account of intersectional rights. Farmers are not the ones who are profiting from animal agriculture. They have a tough life. Most of them are vastly underpaid. They have very high rates of...
They're providing a service. They're in the supply-demand business as well.
And Go Vegan World addresses the consumers, not farmers. It addresses consumers
so that they know what
they're paying for.
So vegans online, if I use that broad, should not be attacking farmers and calling them murderers and rapists. You agree with that?
No, they shouldn't.
And it's a pity that actually should happen. In the utopian world, what use are farm animals? I mean, if they were allowed run wild, if tomorrow there was legislation brought in to ban farming, how would this actually happen? Would it be the gradual extinction of cattle and sheep, for example, that you would support? Or would you allow them to run wild and deal with the elements thereafter, which would be virtually impossible without having some sort of tendering care from farmers?
It's useful to look at where they came from. They were wild when we captured them and first domesticated them, a very short time ago in the period of our human evolution.
10,000 years ago.
Yes, very short. We're evolving for 2 million years.
But take it to now.
So
if tomorrow farmers left the animals to their own devices, do you not see the problems that would create for the animals themselves to try and fend for themselves in the wild? Look at the winter we've just had. Who would shear the sheep? Who would tend to sick calves, etc., etc.?
Farmers breed animals to meet the demand for animal products, and that demand is created by that very industry. We see that all over the literature.
How do you wind down livestock farming is what I'm asking.
I'm trying to explain it to you, Damien. The animals are bred to meet the demand. As the demand decreases, which it is rapidly at the moment, the number of animals bred will decrease. And let's face it, even if everybody stopped farming animals right now, because they're selectively bred into bodies that virtually imprison them, causing...
So we make them extinct is what you're saying. It's the only way.
Yes.
Right, okay.
They're already extinct. They became extinct when we domesticated them and selectively bred them.
Okay, finally, a lot of people want to know, where are you getting the money? Because it costs, I'm sure, hundreds of thousands, if not into the millions, the advertising that you've done over the last 3 years on billboards in the UK, in London, on the underground, on buses, in national newspapers. Who's backing you?
Go Vegan World is funded by our donors who share our vision for a peaceful vegan world.
Are they Euro Million winners?
It is a grassroots organisation that punches well above its weight.
Well, it certainly would seem disproportionate, the amount of people that support veganism and the amount of money that you're spending on advertising.
I'll tell you what's disproportionate is to spend $500,000 on the Origin Green video for Bourbea to have $70 million of a PR budget.
Okay.
I can't compete with the budget that Animal Agriculture has.
But have you big donors that will benefit from veganism behind you? Any corporate donations?
Look, none of us are benefiting financially from veganism. We don't stand to gain. The only thing that we ask for is that animal rights are respected. We are not profiting from this. And make no mistake about that.
No, but advertising costs an awful lot of money. An awful lot of money. Well, full page newspaper ad in a Sunday newspaper, the London Underground, a full big billboard, and the design is spectacular as well in terms of the photography
Thank
and all of that.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering, people want to know, where is the money coming from? You know, farmers need to know this. Where is this money coming from? Denouncing what they're doing, and they don't know who's behind it. Who's behind this campaign that's given you all the money to advertise?
It's, you know, it makes me laugh because we are facing a bill of $500 million in fines for greenhouse gas emissions. You're going to tune off now because
I'm dealing with your organisation, greenhouse gas emissions,
of which animal agriculture is the biggest contributor,
and you're asking me
about the scrappy bit of a budget that I have in comparison to what animal agriculture has. You know, that's laughable. I'll say it again: our donors sponsor us because they share our vision. They share our vision to support farmers to have a better income, a better standard of living, a more secure future for their children. We're in the middle of the sixth extinction. Anybody who's trying to expand their farm is going to leave a disaster behind for their sons and daughters. They won't be leaving a thriving business. They'll be leaving a disastrous landscape.
OK, we're going to leave it there. Sandra Higgins, thank you very much indeed for coming in and joining us this morning. The founder and running Go Vegan World and Go Vegan Ireland and the Eden Farmed Sanctuary as well in County Meath. Thank you very much, Sandra Higgins.